All right, we'll continue tonight in our studies in the book of Exodus, the great book of the Bible. The theme of the book is redemption, deliverance, Exodus, a way out. God is making a way out for sinners. Making a way out historically for a nation, Israel, making a way out spiritually for sinners. And in making this way out, we see that so much of this book emphasizes the right and the proper worship of the Lord, as the Lord spells out how this tabernacle is to be built in every last little detail. We've been working our way through chapter 30, and I believe last week we finished up at the 21st verse, as we were looking at the laver of brass, and you can get those tapes to review those. Tonight we'll come to chapter 30, verse 22, and we'll see in verses 22 through 33 That's a paragraph marking, and then in verses 34 through 38, ending the chapter, is another paragraph. So the two final paragraphs, as we look on, I have them labeled on the board, the paragraphs address the anointing oil and the sweet incense. And so we'll read through here and we'll comment and we'll see what the Lord was doing historically with the nation and then spiritually and doctrinally how it relates to us. Chapter 30 of the book of Exodus, beginning in verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and an oil olive, an hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot, and thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. The holy anointing oil, the oil of holy ointment. The Lord is spelling out to this nation every particular detail of proper worship. The Lord does not want to leave it to, I won't even use our imaginations, He doesn't even want to leave it to our hearts as to how to worship Him. Right. Well, you know, we're good-hearted Christians. He doesn't care what's in your heart in terms of how you worship Him according to your own thoughts. We live in a nation where, how do you feel? What do you think? Well, the Lord is making it plain and clear, He doesn't really care how you feel or what you think when it comes to how He will be worshipped. He will spell out in detail the way He's to be worshipped because your thoughts are not His thoughts. And He's being very careful in particular here. He's picking out the ingredients. The ingredients are back in verses 23 and 24. And not only the ingredients, the amount of the ingredients. He's spelling out every last little detail. As you go through it, you see that one of the key ingredients is, verse 24, of oil, olive, and hin. So he's going to have this diluent of olive oil. It's going to be an hin. And hin is an old measuring term. It's somewhere about 5 to 6 quarts. It's about a gallon and a half. So you start with a gallon and a half of this oil olive. olive, olive oil. And then you mix in principal spices, as he calls them. The Lord says, verse 23, take thou also unto thee principal spices. And then he says which ones they're to be. Pure myrrh, 500 shekels. Sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels. By the way, see, the Lord, the Bible's teaching mathematics. He's teaching division right there in that verse. So he's going to give him half as much of 500. What's half of 500? Well, it's even 250. Every so often in the Bible, God will teach you how to add, how to multiply, how to subtract, and how to divide. Read through some of the books, Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. You'll see the Lord teaching basic mathematics. The Lord is the God of numbers. Mathematics is actually something that I think flows right out of him, something he has decreed, something he has put down here for us, and he likes to teach his children how to do right math, how to do proper math. God wants his children to have his mind, and so he grows us up. He doesn't want us to remain children. He wants to grow us up. I like that, how he teaches division right there in this verse. Now, the pure myrrh is 500. The sweet cinnamon is 250. The sweet calamus is 250. And the cassia is 500. Now, scientifically, as I was going through this, the pure myrrh is a plant that comes, it's a gum resin that comes from a plant. It's a residue that's a gummy, sticky thing that comes out of certain plants in the Mideast. This is the myrrh that's to be used. It's referenced in the Bible 17 times. It's most of the references occur in a book called The Song of Solomon. And you'll find that's a precious book that has to do with the love relationship of God and the nation Israel doctrinally, and the Lord Jesus Christ and the church spiritually. And the myrrh is associated, it's most commonly in this book of the Song of Solomon, because in the Song of Solomon, the one that's evident is the beloved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the myrrh is associated with Christ. And turn to Psalm 45, for example. Psalm 45. And in your own readings of Song of Solomon, you can just take a mental note as you read the myrrh. You'll see its association with the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Psalm 45, for example, this is a wonderful psalm, and we've read through it before, and it's the majesty and grace of actually the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to the chief musician upon Shoshanim. Shoshanim is connected with the Passover in the spring, and it's a song of loves, it says. It's an instructive song of loves. My heart is inditing a good matter. Verse 2, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Verse 6, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thy kingdom is a right scepter. This is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit makes this evident in the book of Hebrews, because in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, it says, God said to Jesus, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. This is the Father speaking unto the Son, and it has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in this particular Psalm, verse 7, thou lovest righteousness, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and hatedst wickedness. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is well balanced. He has love, he has hate. Therefore, God, thy God, the Father, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Verse 8, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The myrrh is associated with Jesus. At his birth, the wise men brought myrrh unto him. At the time that he was at the cross, they took myrrh and offered it to him, dipping the myrrh in the vinegar and offering him some. At his burial, when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea came bringing the spices, they took the myrrh and they wrapped the body in myrrh. The pure myrrh in the olive oil of the holy ointment is pointing toward the Lord Jesus Christ. any holiness and any anointing that will be done to the tabernacle for the nation Israel and will be done in your life and mine must be by the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is holy, holy, holy. And so the Lord God is showing the nation Israel the ingredients pointing spiritually toward his Son. The oil, olive oil, representing the Holy Spirit, and the myrrh representing Christ, and Christ in the Spirit ministering in the tabernacle, ministering to you and me. 500 shekels of pure myrrh. I also observed, though, there was the sweet cinnamon, 250 shekels, and the sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and then the cassia, 500 shekels. And as I went through and I realized, doing some studies scientifically, that the cinnamon is a mature spice, and we use it frequently in the kitchen. It has a nice fragrance to it, has a pleasant taste to it. And the sweet calamus is something that is taken from, it's from a reed plant. And the reed plant breaks off and there's a cane that comes. It's once referred to as the sweet cane in the book of Isaiah. And the sweet cane comes off the sweet calamus. It's a liquid and it's got a sweet taste to it. And this is put in there too. And then lastly is the cassia. And there are 500 shekels of cassia. Now as I read through about cassia, cassia is somewhat like an immature cinnamon. It's an aromatic cinnamic benzene ring that's somewhat immature, whereas the cinnamon is the more mature form. And as I looked at the mixture of this oil of holy ointment, you've got a lot of the Holy Spirit, you've got a large gathering of the Lord Jesus Christ in here with the myrrh, but you also have three other ingredients. And as I looked at them, one was mature, one was middle, and one was immature, and it reminded me of the passage that John the Apostle writes of in 1 John. Toward the back of your Bible, turn to the book of 1 John, and turn to chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And in 1 John chapter 2, this general epistle is written to speak of the love and the fellowship that we ought to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first chapter, just to show you in verse 3, and then I'll show you in chapter 2, but in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." This is the Apostle John writing to us and saying, you know, I was there with Jesus. I saw Jesus. I heard Jesus. And I'm telling you this, I'm writing these things to you, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And what he's writing is he's saying, if you are a child of God, the thing that you want to do, the greatest fellowship you want to have is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have fellowship together. Tonight we're having a time of fellowship as we read the Bible. Brother Bill and I have times of fellowship together. John and I have had times of fellowship together. Many times we've had individual times of fellowship. And that's good. But he's saying the greatest fellowship you want to have is with your Savior. That's the most precious fellowship. The time that you spend alone with him reading the Bible. The time that you spend alone with him in prayer. The time you spend alone with him just singing a song to him or playing an instrument to him. That's the fellowship. Now he says, now in this fellowship that we have with the Lord, I'd like to bring all of you into this fellowship. And he says later on in chapter 2, verse 13, and watch, there are three groups. I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. You're mature, like the sweet cinnamon spice. I write unto you young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. You're like the reed that stands up, and the sweet cane, the young men. And I write unto you little children. The sweet calamus was the reed of the young men, and the cassia was the immature little children. And it shows the fellowship in the oil of the holy ointment together with the Holy Ghost, represented by the olive oil, The myrrh representing Jesus Christ, and the fathers and the young men and the little children all together in fellowship one with another throughout the tabernacle. As everything in the tabernacle was anointed with it. Why? Because it wasn't the tabernacle that was as important as the people in there being together in unity of the Spirit, together worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, worshiping God the Father in spirit and truth. This is the picture that I see that the Lord is bringing together. He would like us to stick one to another in fellowship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and let there not be divisions among us. Bring the spices, the principal spices of cinnamon and calamus and cassia, together with the myrrh and the olive oil, the unity of the brethren. That's what he's trying to point to right here. As a matter of fact, turn to Psalm 133. He said one of the ways you would take this particular oil of holy ointment is you would pour it on the priests that minister together. Psalm 133. He says in Psalm 133, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even upon Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. The anointing speaks of the spiritual unity of the holiness that we have in the worship toward our God and the service on behalf of our Lord. That's the picture he's giving us here. Spiritually in the New Testament, it would be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, the bond holding us together, the bond of what Jesus Christ did, the Prince of Peace, the myrrh of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the bond of peace, our Prince. And this is what the picture that he's giving us right here in the tabernacle. One other thing I thought was interesting, as I studied through the amount of the shekels, I told you there were 500 shekels of the myrrh. There were 250 of cinnamon, 250 of calamus, and 500 in cassia. If you add that together, the sum total is 1,500, 1,500. And that's exactly how many years the law was ministered to at the sanctuary until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. It's contained right there in the numbers, a prophetic of how long that ministry would continue with that ointment. Now the holy ointment that we have upon us is not something physical, but it's the spiritual baptism of the Spirit that the Lord puts on us as we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, turning back to where we were in Exodus. Final paragraph. Now, and you notice the one last thing he says in verse 32, upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. The Holy Spirit isn't given by the Lord to baptize your flesh. It's given to baptize your soul and your spirit. You must be born again. Anyone that compoundeth anything like it, verse 33, today, if someone is running around selling an oil to you or something that pours on your flesh, it is an imitation of what God is doing today, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is by one baptism that we are baptized into the body of Christ, and that is by the Holy Spirit. No man can do it. I can't do it by water baptism, and I can't do it by making some kind of apothecary ointment or oil or selling it to you. That's upon the flesh. The flesh is not how the Spirit works. The Spirit and the flesh, as a matter of fact, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. The two are contrary one to the other. So God's pointing that picture out to you right here also in this particular paragraph. Now moving on to the final few verses as we close this chapter before we move on to chapter 31, we see the last detail the Lord gives is in verse 34. He talks about the sweet incense. We'll read together. Exodus 31, verse 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be of a like weight. Verse 35, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee, and it shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. Now here he gives in these last few verses the sweet incense. Now the sweet incense is going to be different than the anointing oil. The anointing oil was something to be put on the various vessels inside the tabernacle, the various pieces of furniture we talk of, and to be put on the priest. This is a little bit different, this sweet incense. This sweet incense will be taken, and it's going to be placed inside something known as the golden censer. Turn to the next book of Leviticus, chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. And what's referenced in just one verse in Leviticus 16, and this Bible is craftily written by the Lord, here a little and there a little, is mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. So keep your finger in Leviticus 16 and go to Hebrews 9, and we'll take a look at these two verses together as we look here a little and there a little, line upon line, and understand this. In Hebrews chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Jewish people, to the Hebrews, and he's showing the superiority of the ministry of Jesus Christ to the ministry that God gave to Moses and the Jews and the tribe of Levi. And he's trying to point this out to them in the book of Hebrews, trying to get the Hebrews to step away from the temple and the tabernacle and to turn to God in repentance and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he goes through it, Paul, a faithful minister of the Lord, also having been raised a Pharisee, reminds them of some of the things that they used to do in Hebrews chapter 9. He says, then, verily, verse 1, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made. The first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, and which is called the sanctuary. Remember how the tabernacle was divided. I've drawn pictures for you. I think I have an overlay I can show you for a moment here, the way the tabernacle was laid out, if you weren't here before. And looking at it from the top down, the tabernacle, the first wherein, this is what he's describing here in verse 2, there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick. Here's the candlestick over here on the south side. And the table of showbread that's over here on the north side. And then there was a veil across here leading to the place where the Ark of the Covenant was. And this is what he says, after the second veil, going through that veil, because the first veil was out here, the second veil was over here. So I have the first veil, and now traveling through the second veil, here is the Ark of the Covenant. He says, after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant. And people would read this and go, wait, what this golden censer? I don't remember a golden censer being spoken of in the book of Exodus. We haven't seen it. Now here's where we have to go back to Leviticus and see how this is done. Go back to Leviticus chapter 16. People often say there are mistakes in the Bible. There aren't mistakes in the Bible. The thing is, when you read a particular passage of the Bible, you often will not get all of the truth, which is why you must go to other parts of the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept, to build the fullness of the teaching. Now here in Leviticus, given to the priests, this is what he says to Aaron the high priest in Leviticus chapter 16. Verse 2, the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud that's upon the mercy seat. And what the Lord is teaching Aaron here, and which I think we all know, is the Lord is saying, I'm inside the most holy place where the ark is. That's where I reside. And my glory is there. And Aaron, you're really not prepared to be in my presence in that body you're in, because I'm a consuming fire. And my fire hovers over that mercy seat. And if you come in your body, you'll die. So you stay beyond the veil on the other side. It's something for us to realize. You just don't march into the presence of God. We are separated from him. Our sins have separated us from him. And even there with that priest was a priest who was a sinner. The only priest that was separate from sinners, holy, harmless, and undefiled, and without sin, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He could enter into that veil, and he has done so for us. But what Aaron was allowed to do was to do this. Verse 12, Aaron was allowed to take a censer, this is the golden censer, full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of the sweet incense. That's what we're reading about in Exodus 30. Beaten small, and bring it within the veil, and he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that's upon the testimony, that he die not. This is when he was to enter once a year into the most holy place. He had to have the golden censer full of this sweet incense. And that incense went in with him, and it led before him. He carried it before him and between him and the mercy seat, and he put that sweet incense down. And he did his work, and he backed out, and he was allowed to bring the golden censer full of the sweet incense in before the Lord. Now go back to where we were in Exodus. First, I wanted you to see historically what was happening. Now, what is the picture the Lord wants to give us? Back to where we're in Exodus. Now, historically, as we take a look at it, the Lord speaks of these as being, verse 34, sweet spices. The Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, the spices of Stakti, Anika, and Galbonum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense. So there's going to be a mixture of four things together. There's going to be the pure frankincense. Now, the word frank means pure. It's like saying pure, pure incense. It's like saying verily, verily, incense. Pure, frank. Frank means pure. Pure, pure incense. Now, the pure, pure incense that was brought on was found in something called in Hebrew, the Lebona, which is a white, pure incense that comes from the bark of a tree known as the Boswellia tree. Now, the Boswellia tree is a unique kind of tree. Its bark sweats tears that come out of it. It sweats a kind of a tear, semi-transparent, tear-like substance that comes out of it that they would collect. And this was the pure frankincense. The Boswellia tree is the most unique kind of tree I've ever read about. It doesn't grow in soil. It grows on rocks. It grows on limestone. And it's the most unique thing, because when you think about limestone, limestone is pretty much dry. And what it does, this Boswellia tree is able to burrow the most long, deep root beneath the limestone into waters that flow underneath, wellsprings of waters that flow underneath. And this Boswellia tree comes up through the limestone, and then it drips out these semi-transparent tears of pure frankincense. Now, when I look about that, and you think of the rock, and you think about a deep root out of dry ground and frankincense, you can only think of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what a picture right here that the Lord is giving. You collect this from this tree, men like unto trees, but here's a unique kind of tree that's upon a rock with deep roots into a wellspring of water that brings forth a sweet, fragrant incense. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the pure frankincense. And then he says, add to this the stakte and the anica and the galbanum. Now, the stakte is a balsamic myrrh. It's a myrrh that has a fragrance to it that's sweet. And it comes out of a tree, and they find it in the region of Gilead, and they take this particular myrrh that comes out of this tree, and it has like a healing power. As a matter of fact, it was this particular spice, the stakte spice, which made the balm of Gilead, the healing balm that was used by the physicians of Israel. So you've got the stakte, you've got the frankincense. I see Christ in both of them. Then you have the anika. Now, the anika is something that has to be found in, it's the shell operculum inside of the shell, on the underside of the shell of a marine mollusk is where they would get the anika, this sweet spice from. Now, it's curious, the marine mollusks, oysters are mollusks. And underneath on the operculum of the shell is where pearls are made. And so again, when I think of the pearl of great price being the church, but that church was made by the Lord Jesus Christ inside of him, kept inside, he says, in my Father's hands, my hands, no man can pluck them from our hands. My Father is greater than all. And I see the shell right there protecting the pearl, and the operculum is what makes the pearl on the inside. And this is the anica. Again, I see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, another sweet spice. And then finally, we have the galbanum. Now, the galbanum is a gum resin that comes out of two particular types of ferula plants called the ferula galbaniflua and the ferula rubricalis. It's a red type of a plant. And it makes a gum resin that comes off as small, round tears that are red, like drops of blood that comes off of this particular thing. So now when you get all this together, these ingredients together, what we see is a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought this was interesting. If you're back in Exodus, look at these particular spices again. It says, take unto these sweet spices. And if you had a little pencil and you were to circle stakte, S, anica, O, and galbanum, G, these spices with the pure frankincense make a perfume that is pure and holy, separate from any other perfume. It's one of a kind. Stoctica, Anica, Galbanum. We'll turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I just thought this was interesting. I don't know what other language you could get this in. Something unique about our English Bible. And in Luke chapter 1, we see the Annunciation in verse 26 as Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, and he makes the announcement about the Lord Jesus Christ going to come to the nation Israel through Mary. And he says, Mary says in verse 34, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I mean, I'm espoused to be married, but I've never been with a man. I'm a virgin. Verse 35, and the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. S-O-G. Stoctica, Anica, Galbanum. Look at the first letters. S, Son, O, of, G, God. Stoctica, Anica, Galbanum. S-O-G. It's a picture of the Son of God. The sweet spice that's sweet unto the Lord, in whom I am well pleased, is a picture of the Son of God. You fashion this perfume like none other. It's one of a kind. Don't even attempt to imitate it. If anyone even makes the composition like it, he'll be cut off from his people. This is one of a kind. This is a picture of the Son of God, and it's carried inside the golden censer, and it, that is allowed to sit before me in front of the mercy seat in my presence as long as it wants to. It's a sweet incense unto me, the Father and the Son inside the veil together. That's the picture. And Aaron would bring it in once a year and present it before the Father. Aaron would never dare to sit in the presence of the mercy seat, but the sweet incense in the golden censer could sit right before the Father in his presence. To us, I see an application in Proverbs chapter 27. I think that's interesting about our English Bible, the S-O-G, Son of God, because once Dr. Ruckman was talking to a man down in the south in the Bible Belt, and they were asking about, what is this SOP, this S-O-P that Judas dipped his hand in? What is this SOP? And he said, S-O-P, it's the son of perdition. And here we have S-O-G in the Stoctica Onica Galbanum, S-O-G for the Son of God. What a blessing. Amen. Only in your English Bible. You can't get this stuff in Hebrew or Greek. Some good things about this English Bible. There's some progressive revelation in here. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. We've just seen the holy ointment, and we've seen now the sweet incense, the spice. And it says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9, ointment and perfume, that's the sweet incense, rejoice the heart. Amen. So doth sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Bringing us right back to the ointment that holds us together, the fellowship that we have. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Amen. Okay, we're finishing up in this chapter. Are there any questions on what we've been looking at so far as we move to chapter 31? All right, let's move on in Exodus chapter 31. Beautiful portraits that the Lord paints in his Bible. It really is a picture book in words. It's just beautiful to go through. Exodus chapter 31, the Lord continuing as to how this tabernacle will be ministering unto him, and how it will be built, and how the men will do their work about it. Chapter 31, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the tabernacle and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the clothes of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. And what the Lord's doing here is, this is the faithfulness of God. He's saying, look, I have called you, Moses and Aaron, to worship me in a certain way. And I've told you particular things that must be built in order to perform the right worship. Now, rather than leave it to your imagination, when I've called someone, I'm going to enable them, and I'm going to put my wisdom and my spirit and my understanding in them so they can do it properly. In other words, this is the ability to work will be given by God. God will provide the ability that you and I need to do the proper work in the service of the Lord. And he did it historically for the nation Israel. The nation Israel, in the service of God, as we were reading in Hebrews chapter 9, was given particular abilities that were unique so that God could be properly worshipped. He's not going to give you a command and then just leave you on your own. He's going to see to it that these abilities are given. Probably this man, Aholiab and Bezaleel, these men were talented carpenters, talented craftsmen, talented workers in metallurgy, and God is putting additional wisdom in them as to how to properly form the mercy seat, how to properly craft the Ark of the Covenant. And he's putting the wisdom in there. We read in the book of Daniel, for example. Turn to Daniel chapter 1. And the Lord, really, with the nation Israel being a physical nation in one physical place on the planet, with a physical earthly people, descendants of Abraham according to the flesh, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are God's children physically, if you will. Today you must be a child of God by spirit. Even if you are a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are not all Israel, which are Israel. It's not one that's circumcised in the flesh, but one who is circumcised in the spirit in order to be a child of God. Today you must be a spiritual child of God. But when you look at the physical people, God has given them gifts and abilities. Book of Daniel, for example. In this particular chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And here God is allowing judgment on his nation. And, of course, judgment begins at the house of God. And God does judge his people. Of course, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged of the Lord. If we would just read our Bibles faithfully and do what it says, then we wouldn't be judged of the Lord. And we have to, God brings judgment on his people. And here they were getting away from him, and God brought judgment. And verse 3, and here's what happens. And the king, this is Nebuchadnezzar, spake to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he, Ashpenaz, should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such has had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. Nebuchadnezzar says, look, I understand we just took these people, and now we've taken over their nation, and we've taken some of the best material things they have, but why don't we take some of the best young men they have who have knowledge and wisdom and understanding and science, and we can teach them what we know. Ability given by God. God gives ability to his people. The Jewish people have a lot of ability. You look at the Nobel Prize laureates, and the Jewish people are far less than 1% of the world's population, and they have well over 60% of all Nobel laureates. They're highly intelligent, gifted people. God has put ability in those people, the ability to do the work that was necessary for the nation Israel in the service of God at the tabernacle. And many of those abilities and gifts can be used in other manners. God's not an Indian giver. He gives that ability. It's up to you as to how you use it. And he's given that ability. Now, spiritually, Jesus speaks of this in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus, speaking a parable in the Olivet Discourse, says in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Spiritually, in the church today, while the spiritual kingdom of heaven, and the physical one will be built in the millennium, but right now, while he's on a far journey, in a far country, doing the high work of high priest, praying for us, he's delivered unto us talents and abilities on his behalf. And he expects us to use these talents as you read through these things. Verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, took those talents, and with them made 5 other talents. And likewise, he that received 2 also gained other 2. And he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, there it is, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. People saying, you know, Jesus said he'd come back quickly. No, he told you right here it'll be a long time. Now, when he does come back, it'll be quickly. It'll be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But it's going to be a long time before he comes back from the time that he left. So we knew it was going to be a couple of days, as he said in some parables, and a day being like 1,000 years. It'll be a long time from our standpoint. And he talks about the talents. And in the Bible, you read about the gifts, the motivational gifts given in Romans 12, the manifestation gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, the ministerial gifts of Ephesians chapter 4, the householder, the Lord of the kingdom of heaven has delivered to his own servants every man according to his several ability before he took his journey. The Lord Jesus Christ has seen to it, just like those men, Aholiab and Bezaliel, were given the ability to do the physical work that needed to be done at the tabernacle. Today he has given in the spiritual kingdom of heaven, in his church, the spiritual gifts so that we will have the ability to do the work he would have us to do. Now, one of the sad facts you're going to see, Joe, how are we doing on time? We're not going to make it through this. I have much to go. So next week I'm going to have to take you through one of the sad facts that happens to people to whom God gives ability. We'll read about next week in the book of Judges, chapter 18. And you might want to read it on your own this week in Judges chapter 18. But we'll see that these men that God called in Exodus chapter 31 were two particular men of two particular tribes. One was the tribe of Judah, that's Bezaliel. His name means in the protection of God, under the shadow of God. And the other was a man named Aholiab. He was the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. His name means my father's tent. And we'll see that of these men given this gift, we're going to see that a sad fact is some people abuse the very gift that God gives them. And it's one of the sad things that's happened in the history of God working with his people, whether it be the Old Testament Jew or the New Testament Christian. And so next week we'll take a look at that. Are there any questions in what we looked at tonight? Let's take a moment and thank the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the precious, precious word pictures in the book of Exodus as the tabernacle being built in all its exceeding magnificent glory and holiness is a testimony doctrinally to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As the sweet spices of the perfume that were allowed to sit before you in the most holy place represents our Savior, Jesus Christ, the pure incense, the frankincense. And Lord, help us like the holy ointment in the apothecary oil. Lord, help us as fathers and young men and little children to stay close to our Savior, Jesus Christ, to put away the flesh and allow the Holy Spirit to work with us. And may our fellowship truly be with thee, Father, and with thy Son, our Savior, in whose name we pray. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.